Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm an award-winning blogger, YouTuber, life coach, badass entrepreneur, manifester, and author. My mission is to awaken and to inspire women to live their best lives now and to find their purpose in life. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and to start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes. Today, I'm really excited to have Clara Hermit on my podcast. So Clara is a presenter on BBC Radio London. She's an interviewer and personal development coach. Clara's work focuses on helping people revolutionize themselves and their lives so they can find freedom, empowerment, and liberation. And I love this. Thank you so much, Clara, for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And I'm pleased to be on the podcast.
Well, we're doing it the other way around. I came on your show, didn't I, a few weeks ago? So it's nice to be interviewing you for once.
I know, it's funny to be on the other side, like with being questioned as opposed to being the person that's answering the questions. But I will do my very best, the best answers I can. I'll follow your example.
I'm sure you will. So my first question to you today then is something I ask all of my podcast guests. When did you spiritually awaken and what's your story?
So, it's quite a long story. So I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet as I possibly can. And I think that my life kind of goes into these, you know, like I've kind of broken it into sections to be able to explain it easier. So I had like a really idyllic childhood and it was really beautiful. And I grew up on a farm and then my mum died of breast cancer when I was 9. And then it was literally like I woke up and everything looked the same, but nothing was the same at all. And I just think that we don't know as a society how to deal with death very well. And certainly I don't feel like my family knew how to deal with it very well. And so started for me a life of like complete chaos. And I just guess a life where no one was checking in with me. No one was ever saying, are you okay? What's going on for you? So there was kind of all of these things happening, which I guess happened to loads of us, but I was kind of just left to my own devices to figure out life. Yeah. And it didn't go that well. So it was just very chaotic. There was eating disorders, there was bullying, there was just all kinds of crazy behaviors. And my life was just chaotic and a little bit mad. And then my older sister, Emily, when I was in my early 20s, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was 25. I think I was about 22. And she had breast cancer for 6.5 years. And that 6.5 years was probably the most chaotic part of my life. I would say that I was talking about this to someone the other day, and I would say that I was like a sex addict during that time. And I don't think I was actually addicted to having sex. I was addicted to the escapism, to the closeness, to the affection, and I didn't know how to communicate with people. So I thought that was the only way that I could be close to people. It was just a huge mess. And when my sister passed away, which was actually about 8 years ago, that's when things changed for me. And probably about 6 months before she passed away, someone had given me the secret DVD to watch. And I was in a place where I was suffering with depression, with anxiety, with panic attacks. And someone gave me this DVD and I watched it and I was just like, what is this? It made me really angry, actually, because I felt like I was so far away from who I wanted to be and what I wanted to be. And this was just telling me, change your thoughts and it would change your whole entire life, which is true. But if you're right at the bottom of a ladder, you can't just jump to the top without putting your foot on the rungs and climbing up the steps. And it didn't have any steps, but I think something in me recognized that there was truth in it. And so I started reading more and more. And when Emily died, I kind of made a commitment to myself that if she can't be here and my mum can't be here and I am here, I have a duty, not just to myself, but to them as well, to make my life the best it can possibly be. And it hasn't been plain sailing. And it wasn't like an overnight epiphany, like magical awakening that we read about, that some people have. It's been like 8 years of work, of dipping in, dipping out, of retreats, of seminars, of books, and living life and experiencing things. But now I'm finally, I really feel like I'm getting somewhere, and being able to, all the things that I've learned over the years, to actually put them into practice. But I think one of the things that I have learned as I get older and I guess wiser is that really I know nothing. So the more I learn, the less I know, if that makes any sense. But yeah, so that's kind of how I discovered spirituality, and it has come to be a huge part of my life.
Well, clearly a massive part of your life, with, you know, such an unfortunate event with your mum and your sister, obviously triggering that for you as such. So how were you able to overcome losing your mum and sister at such a young age?
I think with my mum, because I was a child and it happened and no one said, oh, there's this thing called grief, it's a process you need to go through. Like, no one even spoke about it. It was like, yeah, it's happened, and now we carry on as if it hadn't, which you can't really do. So the way that I kind of explain it is like, okay, if my family was a house and the house got like hit by an earthquake and the foundations had, you know, big cracks in, all the walls had big cracks in, to make that house stable and safe and secure again, you need to knock the whole thing down, put new foundations in and rebuild the house. And then it's strong, it's stable, it's secure. But what happened in my family is we just plastered over the cracks so that it looked okay, but underneath it was falling, it was broken. And so I never processed my mum's death. I never dealt with it. And I went on to adulthood with carrying this huge emotional burden. And I think that's why my life was so chaotic and I couldn't really function. I couldn't really, like, I found it hard to, you know, like hold down a job. I found it hard to have relationships because there was just this huge, I guess it was like a trauma that I was carrying around that I hadn't dealt with and I hadn't processed. And no one was telling me that I was supposed to. I had bulimia. I was like really self-loathing. I had a boob job when I was 20 because I thought that would fix my whole entire life and make everything great. Note to self, it didn't work. but yeah, so I don't think I dealt with my mum's death until probably the last like 4 years. And when I think when Emily died, it was really different because I knew her. I had her in my life for 28 years. She was my best friend. And I think when I lost her, it was a completely different experience as an adult. First of all, I went straight back to work and carried on as if nothing had happened. And then I was like, hold on a second, this doesn't work. I know this doesn't work. So what I actually did for the first time in my life was to communicate properly with the people I had around me. So like my friends who were there, who were supportive. And it just kind of taught me a different way. And I read books about grief and I realized that grief is a process that I'm entitled to, that we're all entitled to, that's there for a reason for us to heal. So Emily's death was much easier for me to process, but my mum's death, I still carried it around. And what would happen is something could happen that would trigger a certain train of thoughts that I guess had become so ingrained in my person that I would end up, they would always end in the same way, which would be me crying hysterically wanting my mum back as if it had just happened. And now I'm doing this as, you know, like a 30-year-old woman. And I'm like, hold on, this can't be right. I understand that I will always miss my mum, but for me to be this emotional about it and for it to knock me off my feet and to make me feel the way that it's making me feel for days on end, that's not okay. So I really had to start like looking at that and working out why I was still carrying it. How was I going to release it? How was I going to let go of it? How was I going to find peace with it, I guess, and be okay with it? And that has only really happened recently. Like I said, like the last kind of 4 years or so, I guess what happened, I forgot to mention this in my story, is that I carry the BRCA1 gene mutation, the breast cancer causing gene mutation, which was discovered because my sister had it. So they tested me, I have it. And so I had a preventative double mastectomy, which is about 5 years ago now. And I think that was the start of me facing me, if that makes sense. So I had I think I'd built this kind of persona to keep me, you know, keep me functioning. And that was kind of part of like having the boob job and feeling like being sexy was the only thing that I had to offer. And the whole kind of like having sex as a way of getting like emotion and feeling connection and feeling love. And when I had that operation, I guess like I felt really, really liberated. It felt very cathartic to be like, I felt it gave me a sense of freedom. It also made me feel like none of my life made sense. So I quit everything and went traveling for 10 months, which I think was a really great thing. And I'm so glad that I did that. So there was a lot of different things, but I think the biggest thing is facing it, knowing it's there and deciding to do something about it. And I've done so many different things. Some of them haven't been particularly helpful. Some of them have been massively helpful because we're all so different. So we all need different things to help us, but there is a plethora of things out there. And yeah, the biggest thing is knowing that it's there and making a commitment to do it, but taking responsibility in a sense that I can fix this. Like I am in control. I'm the one who has to do the work. It's up to me. It's no one else's job. It's no one else's fault. This is my life. And yeah, and I can do something about it. And so I'm going to.
And it's so true. Like, it's so true what you say about taking responsibility of your healing and having the control to work through that. And I mean, a double mastectomy is massive, massive. I mean, how did you find life adjusting to that? Did you have to do like divine feminine work? I mean, what came up for you when you had your operation?
No, I felt like, I felt really positive. I didn't rush into doing it. So I knew that I had the gene for quite a while. And then there was just one particular day. I'd never really thought about it. It hadn't really crossed my mind. I guess there'd been so much else going on with my sister that I just hadn't even dawned on me. And I just had kind of pushed it out of my mind, I guess. And there was one day where I was like in the bath, kind of checking my boobs. And I was like, that could be a lump. No, that could be a lump. That could be. And I just had kind of like this, I was filled with panic. And I just thought, you know what? This is the first and the last time I ever want to feel like this. And that was the day that I called my doctor and then made an appointment to go and see my doctor to then go to the BRCA clinic. And so started the cycle of me ending up having the operation. But I think it was just, I didn't feel like I was losing anything that I particularly needed or that made me. Yeah, I don't know. It gave me like an excuse to be vulnerable. So prior to the operation, all the stuff that I'd done, so as a presenter, had been kind of like funny. It was in like the grime world and the hip hop world, and I was interviewing artists, and I'd always been very like cheeky. And when I went through the operation, I did like a Radio 1 documentary and we did lots of different stuff. And I was very open and honest about my feelings and showing who I was as a whole entity rather than just one side of myself, which is what people had seen before. And the response to me being vulnerable was really beautiful. And so it gave me permission to just be myself. Whereas I'd spent years thinking, no, I don't want anyone to know about, you know, that this is who I am or that I have this kind of vulnerable side to me, which we all do. I was able to realize that actually, people like this part of me. And I think I accepted myself. And I learned to love my body. That operation made me think, oh my God, like I've spent all of this time worrying and thinking that I am my body and my body is the most important thing. And really, it's just not. Like, yeah, I want to look after it. It's a tool, it's a blessing, it's a vehicle, it's the thing with which I'm going to, you know, be with for the whole entire time that I'm on the planet in this particular manifestation. But it's not, I don't need to punish it all the time. I need to be nice to it. And it gave me like a huge sense of freedom. I don't know how to explain it, because I think for some people it can work the opposite way. But for me, it was just like, no, like this body is amazing. And whenever I say, like, I'll go to my body, I've set another crazy challenge for this year. And it's my mind that decides I'm going to do it. It's me who says I want to do it. And my poor body just has to come along. So I just think, like, whatever we say we're going to do, all the things that we enjoy doing, we couldn't do them without our bodies. We couldn't live this life without our bodies. We couldn't breathe. We couldn't experience. So we just have to be so grateful. And I think that's what having that operation taught me. And that's how it changed things for me.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So you talk a lot about in your work how we can deal with negative situations in a way that benefits us. So what would be your top tips for my listeners to do that in their own lives?
Yeah, so I think for me, using the situations or the things that have happened to me as positives has been something that is like an idea that I kind of really felt resonated with me. But then I was like, yeah, but how do I actually do that? And I remember getting to a place where I would say that my sister dying was the best thing that had ever happened to me. And people be like, oh, what do you mean? How could you say that? And I mean it from a perspective of if there was, like, if in life we had a rewind button, we could change things, we could jump into another dimension where everything was exactly the way we wanted it, that would be great. But I feel like life happens. So, for example, my sister died, which is horrible and awful, and I love my sister so much. And if there was an option that I could bring my sister back, of course I would do that, but that isn't an option. So if I spend my time thinking, oh, I wish I could have my sister back, all I'm doing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Is torturing myself. But if I look at it like, right, my sister is gone, I'm going to go through my process of grief, that's absolutely fine. But how am I going to use this experience to make something positive? How am I going to use this experience to change myself and my life? What can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? Because that's it. Otherwise, what's the option? I give up and curl up in a ball and you know, and cry. Or the other thing is, I take this lesson and do everything I possibly can with it to make myself better, to help other people become better, and hopefully to make, in a small way, make the world a better place. And we all have things that happen to us all the time that wouldn't be considered great or pleasurable or fun or even what we want. But I honestly believe that they are gifts and they're given to us so that we can learn and grow. We always have a choice. We always have an option. So when something happens to you, I think rather than on emotion, which sometimes, you know, happens, we click straight into emotion and we don't even become aware for a moment. When something happens, it's to become aware of the situation, look at the situation from almost from your seat of awareness, from an outside perspective, and just see, right, okay, this thing is happening, and look at your choices. Look at the two ways you could go. You could crumble, you could cry, you could lose your mind, you can get upset, or you could say, what can I learn from this? How can this make me stronger? Or what is this showing me about myself? Where are my insecurities? Where do I need to do more work? And that's how I use those things that arise. And they happen all the time. Stuff happens all the time. It doesn't have to be a big, huge thing, like somebody, you know, dying. It can literally be, I don't know, you're driving to work and someone cuts you up. I don't know if anyone's like me has major road rage. Like, it's the only place where I really lose it while I'm behind the wheel of a car. But I've become really aware of that, because now when I think I'm in a rush and someone is taking ages or whatever, I'm like, no, this is the chance for me to rest. You know, this is a chance for me to be peaceful. So I'm just using every single situation as a way to learn. And when those big things do happen, it's not to say that, you know, when someone dies, I'm not saying, yay, woo, this is great. That's not what I mean. We have a grieving process because that's what we're meant to do. We're humans and it's there to protect us, to make sure that we come out the other side fine. But we also have a choice, and our choice is, how are we going to use this experience to make our life a better place? And that is our choice. That's the only choice that we really ever have. We can't affect the external world. We can, but I mean, we can't make changes in the external world. We make them in the internal world. And then the changes in the internal world affect the external world. So we start inside, and that's where our power is. So yeah, that's like a long way. So yeah, my tips would just be to stop, take a moment and look at the situation and see how you can flip it and use it to affect your life positively.
It's so, so good, that advice, because a lot of the time, you know, I found it when I've spoken about, you know, turning a negative situation to a positive, people are like, well, if someone's died, like, how can that be positive? So it's amazing to hear your perspective with this, having lost two significant family members in your life, your loved ones, and, you know, the female roles in your life, that you can sit here now and say, actually, it was the best thing that could happen in a way, because it has, you know, given me almost this like permission to help others and step into who you're truly meant to be. And I 100% agree with you. Like, everything that happens in our life is either a blessing or a lesson. And either way, when you look back, it's always going to be a valuable lesson, a lesson which has got you to where you need to be in this life. And I just love everything you said. It's so true. And I think it's going to be so valuable for anybody listening who is where you have been in that grieving process, for sure. So what led you on to then becoming a radio presenter and now starting up your own self-help business from all of this?
So before I went traveling, I was kind of doing all of my YouTube entertainment stuff. I was presenting for One Extra and BT Sport, but I was not happy. I was like so confused about who I was, what I was supposed to do. I was incredibly insecure, constantly comparing myself to other people. And I had the operation, and then I had 8 weeks off the other side of the operation. And that was like the first time, I think, where I'd actually stopped for a long period of time. And I guess like everything just kind of collapsed. And I was like, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. And that's when the little voice in my head was like, go traveling. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm 31. People don't just quit their lives in their 30s and go traveling. And then the voice just kept going, go traveling. And that went on for months. And it wasn't until I spoke to someone who was like in the industry about it. And they were like, Clary, you know, you've worked so hard. You can't just go and, you know, give up everything that you've worked for just when you're in the position that you're in now, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, maybe they're right. But then the voice just kept going, go traveling. And then I spoke to my friends about it and they were like, no, go. You should just go. After everything that's happened, just go do it. Like, it will be the best thing that you can do. So I did. And I decided to, like, literally pack up everything and go travel. And when I came back, I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd spent like a month in a yoga school, but it wasn't necessary. It was physical yoga, but it was more so the theoretical side of yoga. So it was very much a lot of spiritual learning. And I'd done a 10-day silent retreat and I just came back like very zen, I think. And then, you know, you quickly get, it's all well and good when you're in an environment where everyone is in that same frame of mind. But then when you go back into real life, it can very quickly change if you don't have like a set practice. But I felt like I needed to go back into, you know, life. I could have just stayed in the yoga school and just probably stayed there for years, but I knew that that wouldn't be the challenge for me, because I wanted to be able to implement the feeling that I had in the yoga school, but to get it in life. And there was an opportunity for my best friend and I to take on a cafe and bar as a business, which we decided we'd do, because I didn't know what I was going to do. Obviously, like, the presenting stuff that I'd had before wasn't existing anymore. I'd been gone for a year. The whole game had changed. And so we had that business until we've just closed it now. So on New Year's Eve was our last day. And I was like, I love presenting, and presenting is it found me. I didn't find it, and I was so shy, and it really helped me become someone who can talk, who's a good communicator. If you listen to this podcast, you probably wouldn't believe that I ever struggled to talk, but I did. So I just had this, like, I really, this is what I want to do. And I did some stuff for my YouTube channel, and then I'd kind of like drift in and out, not very good at being consistent, and then the opportunity at BBC Radio London came out of nowhere, and they're always the best ones. I don't think it came out of nowhere. Obviously, I wanted to get back into presenting, but it wasn't even something I thought of. It was a person who I hadn't spoken to for 5 years who brought my name up in a meeting, and then I was asked to come in and do a pilot, and I got the show, and yeah, it's been over a year now, and it's been beautiful. And it's made me really start to think about, right, you know, what other stuff do I want to do, and how do I want to progress my presenting career. But alongside that, I think one of the biggest things for me is that I know how I used to feel. I know who I used to be, and I know the world that I lived in. And I know that that world is now so different, that it's like a million miles away from where I used to be. I know that I'm like a completely different person, and I want to share that with people. I know that there will be people who are in the place that I was in. And sometimes when you're in that place, you feel like there is no way out. There is, you know, there is no resolution. There is no solution. But I know that there is, because I've been there and I've done it. And now I'm here. And I think even when I was like a kid, I remember thinking, I never want other people to feel like the way that I'm feeling now. I don't want other people to feel the way that I'm feeling now. How can I make sure that other people don't feel like this? So it's kind of like that ethos, I guess, of wanting to make sure that other people don't feel the way that I've felt is something that's been running for a long time. But I also wanted to make sure that I got to a certain place in my life where I was like, yeah, now I have something to teach you. Like, now I really have something to teach. And that, I guess, has been like since the start of 2019. I forget we're in 2020 now. So I did a life coaching course actually in 2018, and I didn't enjoy it. And I don't think it gave me the tools. Maybe it wasn't for the type of coach that I wanted to be, but I don't feel like it gave me the tools that I needed. So I spent kind of quite a long time looking for the right course, and I found it, and I went to Toronto and did that coaching course, which is, so it's a NLP practitioner, clinical hypnotherapy, and then a life and success coach. And now I've just got all of those tools, and I'm molding them into what I know has worked for me. And yeah, so that I can help other people improve their lives, because that's ultimately, what's the point of being unhappy when you don't have to be? And there are ways that we can change. But like you've said in this interview, it is about responsibility. And I think as a coach, you know that it's actually, it's the person who does the work and you're just there to guide them. So it's their choice to take responsibility of their life. And then you're there to kind of guide that drive that they've got and to keep them going and to keep them on track. And yeah, it's just a beautiful experience to see somebody change and blossom and grow. And yeah, so that's how it happened, just out of a want and a desire for people not to feel the way that I felt.
Beautiful. And it's great that you can bring this to mainstream media as well, in terms of BBC Radio London and anything else you do, and even your podcast as well, that you can bring this to the masses, and anybody listening might think, oh, actually that really resonates with me. So I am a massive fan of what you're doing, because I think the more we can speak about it publicly and on platforms like that, oh, it's just going to help so many people. So my last question to you today then is, what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my listeners with?
That's a good question. What would be a good piece of life advice? I think the best thing that I can say to people is that even if you don't feel it, and even if you don't know it yet, you are full of immense power. Like, you are so powerful, and you have the power to affect your life, other people's lives, and the world around you. And I think we are taught from a very young age, you know, through the school system, that we're kind of small individual people who need to go through life and tick this box and tick that box and get the house and get the car and have the family. And that's going to be what leads us to happiness. And I think that the sooner we realize that that's not the case, the better it's going to be. And that's why I talk about revolution, because I feel like it's like a revolution against everything that we're kind of taught. Because I think that our society, what it teaches us as sane and normal is actually insane. And what it teaches us is, like, you know, insane as in like woo woo and hippy dippy, is actually the most sane, sensible stuff. So I think, yeah, you just have to follow your knowing, your intuition, and just work. Like, and I don't mean go out in the world and, you know, work on your career, because your career will come once you do the internal work on yourself. So if you aren't feeling happy, if you aren't feeling great, if you have depression, if you have anxiety, like all of those kind of things, they're like your internal guidance system waving at you, saying, help me, help me, help me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And very often we're taught to kind of push them away, to pretend they're not there, you know, just get on with things. But you're actually going against them, because they're there guiding you, saying, help, help, help. So I think it's just about tuning into yourself, listening to yourself, realizing that you have the power to change how you feel and to change your whole entire life. So don't ever forget that. If you're feeling helpless, just try to remember that fact, and then go out there and seek help and invest in yourself. That's why the coaching industry is booming and doing so well, because it works, and people are realizing that yeah, maybe I can't do this on my own. I need a guide. I need some help. Right, I'm going to go and get this person. Spend the money. Do what you need to do, because you only live this life once, and you live it with yourself. So you might as well be the best version of you that you possibly can. And and you can do that. You can do it. No one else can do it for you.
Yes, love it. Love it, love it, love it. So thank you so much, Clara, for coming on today. It's been such a pleasure having you here, and obviously listening to your great pearls of wisdom. So where can my lovely followers find you if they want to find more about your work?
So on Instagram, it's at Miss Clara Hermit, because I registered Clara Hermit years and years ago, and I have no clue what email or password I did it with. So it's just Miss Clara Hermit, but everything else is Clara Hermit. So it's CLARAHERMET. So my two main platforms, I would say, are YouTube and Instagram.
Perfect. And have you got a website at all?
Yeah, I have. It's clarahermit.co.uk.
Perfect. And I will put a clickable link down below in the description box for you guys to head on over to that as well. Well, thank you so much, Clara. It's been such a pleasure as always. And I'm so confident that everybody listening will have absolutely loved this podcast episode. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my podcast episodes today. I hope you have enjoyed Clara and I's conversation. As always, you can find Clara's website and information down below in the description box, and you can find out more about myself, my coaching and my videos, etc., and everything I do all on my website, emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. And don't forget, you can join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a great week, whatever you are up to, and I'll see you all next week for another podcast episode. Lots of love, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.